माई माइंड वॉज बजिंग दैट पहला क्वेश्चन क्या पूछूं. मैंने सोचा पहले हम झगड़े की बात करते हैं. सो व्हाट इज दिस ब्लो अप व्हिच हैज हैपेंड
टुडे. इंडिया हैज more than 400 million pre-diabetics and diabetics. This year alone, we will spend over $400 billion on healthcare.
5 years mein what damage have we done to ourselves?
You've eaten more. हम लोग कुछ भी खरीदने जाते हैं उसमें एक डील देखते हैं. We are value for money consumers. Now I will show some statistics which blow your listeners' mind.
Hi, welcome to EtherWire podcast, a special edition in Europa series. Future of food. If you haven't noticed that the size of your plate has become smaller, the food itself is shrinking. Do you wonder what the next generation is going to feed and feast on? Apni dadi ma ke haath ke khane ka kya hoga? Have you ever wondered what will happen to the nutrition in kids? Can hydroponics food feed the world? Or why no one gets that prevention is better than cure? Something so simple, a formula just given at you as a handout for a happy, healthy life. But yet, look, where are we? According to World Economic Forum 2023, the biggest crisis the world faces today is food and food prices. A scarcity, a crisis that has never been seen before. Over the next 2 years, the cost of living crisis will remain the number one threat. How prepared are we today? My guest today is a special one who will not just answer these questions but will leave you with boundless insights that gonna be buzzing in the ether around you as far as your own outlook towards your health is concerned. In fact, beyond that, you may call him a preacher or a prophet. I call him prophet. Every sound his voice makes, every letter he writes, every minute he spends, he doesn't work for the clock. He works for us. He is here with a message which is profound. Message simplified so that you can pick up your nuggets of doing things right today. I am pleased to invite my guest today. And I think Flow Research Collective has done a fantastic job in introducing him, which I'm going to pick up and read it out. He is a longevity biohacker. Though he is not a scientist, he believes in everything that science. My guest is Prashant Desai, who is also director Everstone Group. Prashant Desai ji, thank you so much for coming on this interview. How are you?
I am very well. The honor and the privilege is absolutely mine. Thank you for having me. Any conversation around health, food, truly excites me. It just gives me one more platform to spread the awareness of why we all should hopefully embrace what I call as Medicine 3.0 or preventive healthcare. Mm. And from that perspective, when I received that invite from you, more than you, I was excited to be over here. So thank you for having me.
Thank you so much. This was the, we were just discussing out there, you know, conversion and client and all. I think this was the fastest conversion in my history of my career.
So when your WhatsApp or email came, I almost felt like writing, you are kind of preaching to the choir. I'll be happy to be here. So thank you for having me.
No, it's such an honor. And I think you are exactly what your well-wisher speaks of you. At least I was said that he is there. He will come, Jyoti. And just reach out to him.
Thank you.
So that's fantastic. So we have crossed a very important a gap of communication to kind of fill in. But I'm going to pick up this first question. Of course, my mind was buzzing that pehla question kya poochu. Maine socha pehle hum jhagde ki baat karte hain.
Ji.
और या पंगे की बात करते हैं
जी,
जो आपने जेंजीज या मैगी लवर से ले लिया
जी.
सो व्हाट इज दिस ब्लो अप व्हिच हैज हैपेंड दैट यू हैव गॉन सो एंटी मैगी. आई लव मैगी, बट टेल अस अबाउट दिस. ये पंगा आपने क्यों लिया मैगी लवर्स के साथ में?
सो आई थिंक इन द जर्नी दैट आई हैव एम्बार्क्ड अपॉन, आई डोंट सी एनी एनिमीज. एज आई सेड, आई एम इन अ जर्नी टू एडुकेट एंड कीप पीपल अवेयर. I also believe the food is personal. Mm. I am nobody to tell people what to eat, how to eat, when to eat. it is their personal choice, and I'm here to not just respect it, but to embrace it as well. In that journey of preventive healthcare, one of the things that I keep doing is when I come across interesting piece of scientific information where there is data to back, I call this as evidence-informed information, I like to share it with people. I believe inherently people are intelligent, and hence if this is something that resonates with them, chances are that they may probably think at least of changing some part of their habit towards making their life a little better is there, and hence that post. The post was honestly nothing to do with Maggi. It had more to do with instant noodles. If you see the post, I have not named any brand, yet naming them in some form. But the idea is when you are consuming then 10 packet of instant noodle and the campaign talks about bhookh lagi hai and mummy says bas 2 minute. What I wanted to present is what that food did inside your stomach. And it was not my representation. It was a work done by Dan. And he actually inserted a camera inside after eating that packet of instant noodles. And what he saw and he observed and he reported was the fact that when you eat instant noodle, the stomach tries a lot to digest it. Yet, despite staying in the stomach for almost 2 to 4 hours, the food was constant. The stomach could not break that food. Your stomach actually moved in that camera, tried its best to do that.
But it didn't.
It did not. Does that mean Maggi is unhealthy? Again, there is not data to prove that, and I write that in the post. But what it tells is that the reason why you ate that has created a gastric distress, will lead to you having some kind of a bowel disruption going forward. And I write, my daughters love Maggi. We've all grown up eating Maggi. The question is not about whether one should eat Maggi or not eat Maggi. The question is how often. That's the first point that I make. Second, I also make a point, is 10 rupees cheap? And I leave my post with that. And I let the audience decode. Yes, 10 rupees on one end is very cheap. On the other end, it's very expensive. It's your decision. And that's where I end it. So, no panga with anybody. Also, Maggi by Nestle. And we were discussing this informally. I hold shares of Nestle.
Wow.
So it's okay.
It's okay.
If people are eating Maggi, I'm happy. If they are not eating, I'm more happy. But I leave it at that.
No, wonderful. I think you are bringing the aspect of awareness into what you're eating. Because conventionally, jo humko nahi dikhta hai, hame nahi dikhta hai, to hame chalta hai. We don't care. But as long as we're not seeing what's happening inside our tummy when we are eating supposedly and noodles, Maggi noodles, we shut our eyes. Matlab sab theek hai. Because people are obsessed or what do you call in spirituality, they say, hum log apne zabaan ke gulab hain. We are the gulams of our flavors and stuff.
Yeah.
So food definitely plays an important role in anybody's life. You know, roti, kapda, makan, you know, ki baat karte hain. So food becomes a very center point. And when it's about our children, my son is 19. And of course, he's been brought up with a lot of awareness. But I see a lot of a nutritional crisis happening amongst this generation, which is into, you know, quick food. You know, drive-by, chips and stuff, you know, instant gratification, jo chahiye, that is what being witnessed as a pattern in selecting their food choices. What is your advice to Gen Zs or Gen Alphas, as we say, who wants to eat, again, 2 minute concept, quickly, what is the optimal nutrition at least they can pick up out of the shelf?
It's a great question, and I don't have, unfortunately, a great answer. I have two daughters, 20 and 11, and it's a struggle in everybody's life, including mine. I can share some of the things that we are attempting to do. First, I think I want to give respect to Gen Z, millennials, or Alpha. We have to treat them that they come with a level of intelligence which is significantly greater than us. So I don't have a preacher mindset when it comes to them. My idea is to leave them with enough clues so that they can solve the puzzle for themselves. Because I believe if they solve the riddle, my ability to change their belief system, and hence with their belief system, their behaviors, is significantly higher. Some things I dictate. In my house, if you want to live, one thing is not allowed. which is you cannot eat while watching television. So first thing, as I said, right, that is they are not allowed. You can't eat while watching anything because science says that the moment you do, two things will happen. You will overeat. And number two, you are disrespecting the person who's made the food. In my case, it could be the cook or my wife and the people who grew that food. So that one thing is not allowed. Second thing, what we have done is very intelligently not stocked up our refrigerator and our cupboards with a lot of processed or ultra processed food. So, you know, if you want to buy that packet of chips, you will have to go down the road to buy. The moment they have to go down and buy, it disincentivizes them because they are constantly doing whatever they want to do. Third thing that we have tried to do is the first meal, which is breakfast, we make it homemade. I ensure that in that breakfast, they get 30 to 40 grams of protein. Now, why is that important? One, you are getting garam nashta at home. Number two, if it is heavy with either good fats like ghee or protein, it will keep you more fuller. Which means if you are more fuller, your wanting to snack will come down.
Right.
When my younger one comes back from school at around 3:30, there is a garam nashta prepared for her and kept ready. So her incentive to cheat is lesser. When we eat our dinner, we ensure our dinner is also home cooked, but something which is more interesting. So we will have our pizzas, but homemade. We'll have our burgers, which are homemade and stuff like that. Now, what that does is they will still want to indulge. So when they go for their birthday parties on the weekends, when they go out, they can indulge as much as they want. I try to apply the what I call as the 70-30 rule. If I keep in control 70% of the thing as a parent, 30% I leave it to them. Within them, I respect the fact that they are more intelligent than me. I will drop clues, leave it at that. And I have seen it's kind of working. Will they not embrace the colas and chips of the world? They will. I cannot stop that, nor I am in a mission to stop that. My whole idea is, can I educate them on reducing this or keeping it in a certain limited way? If it works, I will be successful. If it not, I would have failed as a parent, but at least I will not have failed in trying. So I guess that's what I do.
No, I think this is very different from what I have heard. You know, everybody I see out there as a messenger wants to be on a mission, and a mission to eliminate. I think your process to communicating to raise the awareness of health itself, I think is fantastic. So it doesn't.
Thank you.
And I'm sure, like me, there are lot of other forces which are collectively behind you to kind of propel this.
We are a social animal.
Yeah.
I cannot operate in extremes. I am not made like that. At the same time, I'm not a very big believer of moderation, that eat anything in moderation. Somebody tells me, smoke in moderation, sorry. Drink alcohol in moderation, sorry.
Right.
Eat added sugar, sorry, in moderation. So there are certain things where I am also very extreme when it comes to these three pieces. But in rest, what I say, be consistent. Be consistent with eating good food. And then when you waver once or twice or thrice in a week, I am fine with it. It's okay. Because your body generally will make adjustment to that in that sense. And today, if you are living in a modern society, you will want to go out with your friends. How do I stop you from eating outside food? No, and it's wrong. Why? Beyond the food part of it. Social connection is a very important pillar of lifestyle, medicine, or health. I did a course from Harvard and it exactly spoke about that. If I'm not going to let you have a good time with your friends, your stress levels will rise, your cortisol levels will rise. It has a far bad impact than the burger that you had when you went out. So no, I am with you over there. I don't believe in moderation. I believe in consistency on the good things. Then the smaller mistakes that you make will even out and over a longer period of time.
You spoke about social connection and food and all going out as a part and parcel of our lives. But I think there could be a modification where social connections or regrouping is not always about food and parties. It could be about sports and quizzes or debates and discussions or a stroll in a park as well with friends.
100%.
Right.
There is no debate about that. But one has to be realistic, right? And when I wear that lens of realism, what probability will I give over the next 20, 30 years for people to bond more over debates and quizzes and walks in the park versus over food? I would probably give it a very, very low probability.
Right. I hope we get some higher probability there.
It will keep increasing.
Yeah.
That I am sure.
And of course, I know where you're coming from. We are not living in an ideal world, but all these are idealization of the perfect, you know, future scene. But I would like to nail all the things that you mentioned about the habit, the access to food, the timings are a very intelligent craft which a parent can bring at home, which you have established as a machinery, how your house works. All of this we are doing basically to nail the nutrients that our child or we are consuming. Because the body doesn't know, the chemistry doesn't know of the body that you're eating a paratha with ghee or you're eating an old butter, you know,
or cornflakes with milk,
right? They know nutrients. Body knows nutrients. We are talking about future of food that itself looks in crisis. The plate has, you know, become half and we have taken half of your cup too. What do you think is the future of nutrients going forward with the context that the food of future could be growing in lab? Are we prepared? Are you prepared? What are your views?
One question, lot of answers. Probably my reply probably would be on a longer one on this. So the way I look at it, if you look at future of food from a global perspective and then zooming on into India. So let's decode this through numbers in some form and fashion. And somewhere you will have to double click on the past to get a sense in terms of where are we moving, right? Mm. Today we have about 8.1 billion people in the world.
Mm.
We are consuming close to about 2.6 billion metric tons of food, which is, if you broken down it and double click and do the math, we are on average, the world is consuming 800 grams of food every day. Calorie wise, you put it, world is consuming about 2400 calories. If you now double click into the westernized society, you would see this 2350 calories are close to about 3100, 3200 calories. If you look at India, another very interesting picture, right? In India, we are now consuming close to about 3,000 calories. This number about a decade, maybe two decades back, was about 2,300, 2,400 calories. So over the last 10, 15 years, we have increased our calorie intake per day by about 800 to 850 grams. Now, why is this important? Which is where your next question kind of comes in, right? What am I increasingly eating? Again, I never look at India as one India. We call it as India 1, India 2, India 3. But if you look at India 1 and India 2, the people that we relate to, there has been a distinct shift. Again, looking at data, if you look at the world's consumption of food, about 53% of the food that the world consumes is not processed. This includes fruits, this includes vegetables, this includes nuts, includes meat, includes fishes, all of that. In India, the ratio is reverse. We are consuming 54% of what we are eating is processed. Now, double click on this and you will, your mind will get blown that in 10 to 15 years time, our consumption or nutrient habits have changed in favor of processed food. The moment now you double click on processed food, there are three main ingredients of any processed food. Which India today is consuming, which is my concern. First is refined flour or what we call as maida. Second is table sugar. And third is oil or cheap oil. Any processed food you will take will be a combination of this. Now, when I look at that part of it, and then you look at its consequences, and let's look at it, right? As Indians have grown to eat a lot more processed food, packaged food, again, it has a very interesting marketing angle. India is the only country where you get a packet of Lays for 10 rupees. And it is available across Kirana stores. And they come in very bright colored packaging. It's difficult for you to miss. And I'm not just talking chips over here, whether you take chips, whether you take cola, whether you take chocolate, whether you take energy drinks, anything that you get in a Kirana store. Everything has been made reductive to a price of 5 rupees or 10 rupees, which adds affordability. So you have affordability, accessibility, playing on the Indian mindset of being value conscious. We are value for money consumers. I think our biggest disservice, because we were a poor country, is this mindset. हम लोग कुछ भी खरीदने जाते हैं उसमें एक डील देखते हैं यार हेल्थ में जब आप डील करना शुरू करोगे नाउ आई विल शो सम स्टैटिस्टिक व्हिच होपफुली ब्लो योर लिसनर्स माइंड राइट So first, we consume far more processed food. Over the last 10, 15 years, this number has grown at a CAGR of 22%.
My God. Right? Okay, that's a big
number. On top of that, we are essentially consuming this very cheap. And this is essentially refined flour, sugar, and cheap oil. Today, India has more than 400 million pre-diabetics and diabetics.
My God, diabetic capital of the world.
Forget diabetic capital of the world, Jyoti. We have more diabetics and pre-diabetics than the population of the United States of America.
Oh, that's a significant number.
Now, why is this important? Okay. Diabetes is your last stop. Before the four, what I call the four horsemen of death. Because I'm a longevity biohacker, one of the easiest way to live longer is not to die early. Right? So I have done so much of work understanding how I will die.
Right.
So if you look at the actuarial data, the number one killer in India is heart attacks. Number two, diabetes. Respiratory lung issues, which essentially has to do with smoking and tobacco, and we'll touch upon that later. Number three is cancer. Number four is what we call as metabolic syndrome. All four of them, you are normally in first gear. The moment you are in, you have diabetes, you are in fifth gear. Okay. Now I said diabetes is the last stop. After that, you've seen that movie, The Burning Train. Dharmendra, Jitendra. You are the burning train. Your brakes don't work. Your accelerator doesn't work. You are only one way. It's just a question of when you will hit the wall. When will you die? Okay. And you will die 10 to 15 years earlier than a normal human being.
10 to 15 years is that? Oh my God. Okay.
Now when you look at this trend in the future of food that we are discussing, if we as Indians are going to consume a lot more processed, ultra-packaged food, we will become diabetes. The second sign of diabetes is obesity.
Right.
You know what is the single leading cause of cancer in the world, which everybody knows? It's
smoking. Right, yeah.
Do you know, in last 50 years, after putting $750 billion towards cancer research, their only claim to fame, only discovery the world of cancer has made is what? They have found out the second biggest cause of cancer. That's obesity.
Okay.
So India is on a train by becoming diabetic to becoming obese to hitting either of these four walls.
Right.
Which is, it could be heart attack, it could be cancer, respiratory, or and metabolic syndrome.
Metabolic syndrome.
This is the future of Indian food. And the biggest problem here is our value systems. I am not proud of our Indian value system of value for money. Har cheez mein deal chahiye. Har cheez mein buy one, get one chahiye. Har cheez mein 20% higher to main khareed lunga. And I keep talking about this on my profiles, that wealth is health. Because if in this country, if you are little poor, you have no choice but to eat rice, but to eat wheat, but to eat maida, but to eat sugar, but to eat salt. आपके पास चॉइस नहीं है. सो अगर आपको हेल्दी बनना है तो पहले वेल्दी बनना पड़ेगा. सो इन माय व्यू द फ्यूचर ऑफ फूड इज इंटरेस्टिंग, बट लेट्स लुक एट द अदर साइड ऑफ फ्यूचर ऑफ फूड. राइट. एंड आई वाज टॉकिंग टू रेवांत हिम्मत सिंघा. ही इज वन ऑफ द बिगेस्ट सेंसेशंस ऑन इंटरनेट ऑन इंस्टाग्राम टुडे. ही रन्स हिज इंस्टा चैनल कॉल्ड फूड फार्मर. And he put out this quote, and this is the biggest dichotomy of our world. The food industry does not care about health when they are feeding you. It's their responsibility in some form, right? You look at any of the multinational or Indian large food companies and look at the responsibility statement. Health will be part of it, but they don't care. And when you look at the other spectrum, which is the healthcare industry, they don't care about the food.
It's so true.
My father-in-law is a doctor. I asked him, how many chapters did you have on nutrition when you were studying?
Zero. In medicine.
Because the medical world is not even considering food and nutrition.
Right.
And the nutrition world is not considering healthcare cost.
Absolutely.
So let me blow your mind again. Okay. India's GDP is roughly about $3.5 trillion. Mm. This year alone, we will spend over $400 billion on healthcare.
We'll be spending.
Indians, you and I will be spending.
Okay.
Of that, one third is at inside hospitals. One third is on drugs and medicines. And one third is on tests.
My
diagnostic,
God.
Right? Guess what was this number just 5 years back?
200?
It was $70 billion.
Oh.
In five years, this $70 billion has become $400 billion.
What have we done? 5 years, what damage have we done to ourselves?
You've eaten more chips, more cola.
Yeah.
You've eaten more fruit. You've eaten more fruit juice. Mm. You've eaten more cereals. Today, you look at an average urban breakfast room. What are they feeding their kids? Toast, which is refined flour. Mm. Butter, which is good. Fruit juice, which is pathetic.
I swear about
you. Sometimes milk. Mm. But in that milk, they destroy the milk by putting a Horlicks or a Complan or whatever.
Mm. Bonvita.
Right? Bonvita. Or they will make a smoothie where they will put sugar and a fruit. Again, a problem.
There is no escape, it seems.
There is and there is not. And we are. I am not here to change people's mind. I am here to present data. 60% of that $400 billion is spent outside of our pocket. India does not have a national healthcare policy.
Yeah.
So we have to spend that money on our own.
Yeah.
Now if you look at our per capita income is about $2,500. Mm-hmm. Today we are spending at least 12% of that every year on healthcare, right? But this is average India picture. Now, when you double click on that, if your income is 2,500, you are not making 2,500 because Modi ji will take 30%.
Tax will again.
Right? Mm-hmm. Which means this is not 12%. We are actually talking of 15 to 18% of your every single month earning.
Right. Going into
hospitals.
No, I think this is the reality check rather than the...
More than reality check because your question was on the future of food. But
yes.
I believe the world's biggest problem open up the world's biggest opportunity.
Mm.
I am an eternal optimist at heart. Nothing can convince me the future is going to be worse than the past.
And you're going to live for 200 years to promote this message.
No. Okay. I live till 85 is my target, but... Okay. When I look at the future of food, because such a big is an opportunity, I see so many things happening both on the supply side and on the demand side.
Right.
So you now have, so over the last 5 years, agri healthcare startups have got funding to the tune of $5 billion. Change has started.